American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, August 8th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of the core political tyranny. And what is the core political tyranny? Well, look outside. Chances are everything you see beyond your own windows is core political tyranny. This is why all of us are geeks. We stay at home and we stay nice and pasty white. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening, you are too. But hopefully you will do more than just listen. Hopefully you will take action. And the major part of action is the word act. And taking and doing acts of random sort of anti-corpolitical tyrannical stuff is generally sort of the mindset of what we want to do. And the number one anti-corpolitical mindset stuff that you can do is read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can get to said live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and Extreme Radio Tampa. And do not forget that you are, in fact, free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. And one of the best ways that you can get this broadcast out there is not by just giving it away yourself, but by contacting people you know could distribute this program. Get in touch with them, let them know what the program is, let them know what the program is about, and make sure that you get them to email Sumerian. Don't email Sumerian telling them that you told somebody about it, which you could do anyway if it's, like, really cool or whatever. Like, if you take Dan Rather hostage and, like, you know, scream in his face or something. Yes, we'd like to know about that. Note that we will report you to the authorities afterwards.
That's right, because that's illegal.
It is. It is. And speaking of Sim, here he is.
Good morning or afternoon, everyone.
And how do they get a hold of you, Sim, if they want to send you email?
Well, they can email me at info@rantradio.com.
Info@rantradio.com. And you're giving me crap for sounding tired? Holy cow. You're like,
do I sound tired?
Oh, God.
Sorry.
That last info@rantradio.com, that was just like, hey, how you doing? I'm thinking about shooting myself.
Maybe a little
Ladies
bit.
And gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. My wife has left me, and I've decided that I'm going to make another terrorist attack purely for my own purposes. Please stay in your seats as I have a gun in the cabin.
So, getting into some feedback right off the top. What do we have here?
You have a letter.
I have a real snail mail letter. Now, first of all,
it is typed.
It was written on the thing here. And this is from Bucky Fuller.
Yes.
Now, this is significant because Bucky Fuller lives in Brandon, Manitoba.
Oh.
Says right there, Brandon, Manitoba. Now, I wonder if I know Bucky, which is really, really bizarre. But anyway, I'm going it's entirely possible because I spent some time in Brandon, Manitoba. This is what kind of tripped me out. But I'll read you his letter here. Okay, and we've got his reply address inside here.
All over the place, yeah.
To Sean Kennedy of Rant Media.
Oh,
I am Sean Kennedy.
Your official title.
I am Sean Kennedy of Rant Media. Included in this package is a tight package of media for your personal enjoyment, which is very tight, and thank you very much.
Good, yeah.
Yes, it's very hot. As well as a data dump of various things I thought would be of use/interest to you, including some music, which I have yet to check out, but it is in my monstrous and ever vacuous to-do pile, which looks an awful lot like the garbage chute that Luke Skywalker fell down in the first film.
Monsters swimming around.
Yeah, I swear to God, something just went past my leg, you know. it's that bad. Seriously. Various things I thought you would use, slash interest to you, that couldn't fit through the email. I know. They should make that. They should work on that email slot.
The
dimensions
small.
Are all off.
Yeah.
Unlike the short notes or news links I usually send you. As well, I would like to request three copies of your book set.
Because he really likes it. He needs three of them.
Do we have book sets?
I guess if you have three of them, it would be a set.
It would be a set of three books. One of one, two of one, three of one. One for me, one for the local public library.
That's very cool.
That is super cool. And one for a gift
nice.
Idea.
They make great Christmas gifts.
They make fantastic Christmas gifts for people you don't like on the prairies. I've included a personal check worth XXX dollars Canadian.
Huge in money. Huge.
Just sick money. He robbed a bank. Figuring that should cover it. Well, yeah, it did.
It did.
Any cash left over, please keep as a tip. Jesus, when was the last time an author got a tip?
Just now.
Really?
You never get a tip. You don't get tips.
Who gets fucking tips?
Waitresses get tips.
Seriously. I'm like,
writers don't get tips.
I'll just wear a big push-up bra and see if I can get better tips. Feel free to clear the check before you send me the books, because I recognize you probably think I'm insane.
Yes, I
trust you, Sean, period. I trust you, Sean.
Frame that. I trust you, Sean.
Just make sure you send them. Please.
Please. Please.
They've already been sent. Relax.
Yep.
And incidentally, all you asshats out there are like, where's my book? I paid for it 20 seconds ago. Hey, we got one skinny vegan running around mailing stuff. Most of the stuff's already out there, but we can't afford to send it because there's like no profit here. So we're sending it. How are the books being sent?
Canada Post.
Yeah, but they're not being sent like Uber Ninja
Slow
mail.
Slow as they go.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your average
cost for you guys?
Yeah,
but
so
they take
you know
a little
what?
Longer to get there.
It gives you something to do every day. Go check the mailbox every day. Get some exercise. Get outside.
It'll probably take 2 weeks if you live like next door to me, and 8 weeks if you live on a different continent.
And another,
a lot of people from Ireland ordered it, and it's not there yet because, well, it's in Ireland. We're Canada.
Yeah. And, you know, they want to make sure it's not harmful matter.
But if I said I sent it, it was sent.
Of course.
No worries.
And he is very good with that. You should see his room here. He's got it all, like, cataloged. He's turned into a little shipping and receiving center here.
It's insane.
Sincerely, a Wog in Action, Bucky Fuller. Well, that's awesome. Now, the weird thing about this is that Bucky Fuller, as I've noticed, because I looked at the envelope. I always look at all the envelopes and everything. Because Sim, if anyone sends me a letter, first thing that happens is Sim opens it to make sure there's no anthrax vaccine or anything
like
that in there.
And if I die, he knows there was anthrax.
And then I'm like, oh, it killed the vegan. Oh, well.
Gotta get another vegan.
You know, I'm like, oh, hello, I'd like another vegan, please. But he's from Brandon. Now, Brandon, Manitoba is just outside of Canadian Forces Base Shiloh.
Now, we've heard that word before.
Right, of course, because that's where I did my 3 years. Now, Brandon is where they had the guy with the pink tutu and the diving flippers walking down the street with a hard hat on. No shit. That was the first thing I saw when I drove through Brandon. I'm like, what's this city like? I looked at the side of the bus, and there was a guy walking down the street wearing diving flippers, a tutu, and a hard hat. And
waving
I'm like,
to you saying, welcome to Brandon.
No, he was just walking because he had shit to do. You know, he's holding a briefcase and stuff, you know, and I'm like, wow, I'm in hell.
We saw one of those kind of guys on our way down to Las Vegas last year, didn't we?
Yeah, in Vegas. Yeah, you'll see stuff like that in Vegas, but you're not going to see stuff like that in the middle of assfuck nowhere,
exactly.
You know, 3 hours outside of Manitoba or outside of Winnipeg. I mean, this is just, weird. So anyway, but the interesting thing about Brandon is that the book, The Bloodstained Rabbit, for those of you who are just tuning in and are not too sure what The Bloodstained Rabbit is really about, let me tell you, because we've got like about 50 books left. So, honest to God, if you want to,
this is limited edition. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
So, I'm thinking. I guess by the end of this next month, by the end of the summer, I think I'm pretty certain they're all going to be toast.
Yep.
So, if you want to get one now. And if you want me to do a dedication, or if you're going to give it to a gift to a person or whatever, and you want me to write in it and say, you know, to whoever, from whoever, because they think you're cool or whatever, just write that down. Don't get me to write another book in there, because that will suck.
You read a short story in the book.
You know, I've only got so much time, guys, seriously. So just, you know, whatever. But if you want me to do a dedication or whatever, I can do that. That's cool.
To
you know,
my dog.
But the weird thing about Brandon, Manitoba is that I finished The Bloodstained Rabbit in Shiloh.
Okay.
That's where it was completed. So this guy's actually very, very close to where I actually wrote the book. And the funny thing is that in Brandon, I started writing the book in BC, but in the book there is these kids and they move to a town where the major structure is a university.
Okay.
And a nut house. Okay.
And
Brandon? There's a mining town there. Brandon, its major focus is the university. And it has the biggest, scariest fucking nut house in existence up on a hill. It's called the North Hill Sanitarium. And if you look at it, it looks like something out of, like, when I was describing the sanitarium in the book. That's sort of like when I went to Brandon, I'm like, oh, my God, I moved to a place. I was like, I am the guy from In the Mouth of Madness. I am Sutter Kane because I just thought up this fucking town, and here it is.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very, very bizarre for me.
So Bucky lives there.
So I think that, and Bucky lives there. So I think that Bucky is probably going to get off on the book, because it's very the town he lives in, and other than the fact it's based in a mountain town in BC, but the town, if you were to take Brandon, Manitoba, and move it up to Mount Skahist, which is a real mountain where the whole thing's based around. See, the whole, let me start at the beginning. The whole story, there's no spoilers.
Okay.
The whole story is about these two university kids, they go to move to this town called Twillingate.
Right.
Right? And all the names in the book, like Essendale and all this kind of stuff, all the names of all the districts are named after nut houses. I went through a directory.
Canadian nut houses?
All Canadian nut houses. Mostly nut houses in Newfoundland in honor of my father, who the book is dedicated to.
Right,
so there's Gander and there's all these different districts and stuff like that, but there's always nut houses, like in sanitariums, named after all these places. The only place that's not named after the nut house... is the nut house in the story, which is named
how ironic.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you're when you're 14, you think that's pretty good. And I named that after the high school I was going to at the time, which is Lord Tweedsmuir Senior Secondary. That's where I went.
That's right. Yeah.
So then, and anyway, they go there and they go into the university and they discover in this house they move into these old trunks and they discover ancient experiments that were rediscovered by the Nazis, and, you know, hilarity ensues because, of course, you know, one of them is a chemistry major, the other one's a
good setup for a horror novel.
Yeah, you know, bang. And there's a lot of guys talking to me about, you know, they're saying, well, you know, as a novel, it's kind of black and blah, 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 but it would make a great movie. People are saying that.
Yes.
And it would make a great video game. No, no, no. The video game you want is Goodnight. You know, that's the video. Yes, the Goodnight. They show up near the end of the book there, and they talk about Team Locust from Goodnight showed up.
Okay.
And that's a tie-in, because this is all my books have blatant tie-ins to other stories.
Yeah.
But there's another story which I have mapped. It is mapped. Called Goodnight, which it covers, there's certain sections of the book which you, I can't even say that. Goodnight ties into Bloodstained, but Goodnight ties into most of my stories. It ties into Scabbed as well. People who've read Scabbed, the guy named Buck Wild, who's the witch hunter, he was one of the trainers who started the organization Goodnight, which is a counter-supernatural group. And that was where I was going with season three of Tales from the Afternow, is trying to take this guy and have him turn against the supernatural and evil forces that are against the world. Sort of like a Constantine without the Catholic thing. It's like, what if Woggs realized all of a sudden that there was demons and shit running around and there really was the Masquerade. You know, and vampires, not vampires specifically, because I don't want to give away any of my myth, because I never use vampires because they've been overwritten.
Yeah.
But for an example would be, if vampires existed and Woggs found out about it, they'd be like, well, fuck all that. I'm going to go watch me some Peter Cushing movies, and we're all going vampire hunting. You know, who's going vampire? We going vampire hunting. That's exactly what it would be. So, and that was the whole premise of the whole Goodnight thing, was government sponsorship, blah, 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 blah. So, and you know what? That isn't new. You're like, well, there's nothing new there. There's been lots of shows about stuff like that. Yes. Yes, there has. So I've given you nothing really unique there. But trust me. Trust me. If you were to read the story, it'd be really, really cool. But anyway, back to Bucky and his cool letter and buying the books and everything. I just want to say thanks, Buck, and thanks to everybody out there who does send me these stories. I know you guys don't think that I actually give a shit and that I just, you know, send you your one, thanks, Monday. You know, this is the email response you get. No, it really does matter to me. It's just that rather than, you know, drool and, you know, write these massive heartfelt email letters back to you, I would rather just say it once on the show and let everyone enjoy the fruits of the labor rather than, you know, turn it into a big, you know, stroking session where everybody's trying to look after everybody else's ego.
Mm.
So, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is very cool.
And your books will be there soon.
And they
They'll
are going,
sent off
they're
probably,
out there. And if you want
Monday,
to get
Tuesday.
One, if you want to get a book, the best way to get the book is to go to, I guess, Dark Atlas.
Kind of indirect there. You can go to Dark Atlas, and across the top, there's something that says Rant Store.
Oh, you go to the Rant Store. So any of the Rant Media, rantmedia.ca, go to the Rant Store,
the stuff,
Rant Radio, Rant Store.
There's a link from your page. There's a link from every Rant page. It's right at the top.
You're getting to the Rant Radio website, rantradio.com. Head to the Rant Store, and you'll be able to pick up a shiny, happy, new copy of my scary book, which one guy was reading on a plane, and it was tripping people out because it's like this white book with this massive occult symbol on the front. The other side of this, too, incidentally, and I should note to this, because this is something that everybody who's already bought the book is going to be really happy about. All, and you can ask Sim will back me on this, all the books have a rune. They're all that design. They're all a white cover with a rune on the front.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's part of a set, and they're all going to be that size. So if you got some kind of vision in your head of having a complete set, we may not do another printing of Bloodstained.
We may not.
And if we do another printing, I'm not signing them. Because
this is it.
Because we're after the support from the people who want to support us in the beginning, and it would just be pointless if I did that the second time.
You got to make them special, right?
Yeah, this you got to, because I mean,
first ever book.
This
right?
is very cool. So whether or not they'll all be white covers, I can't promise you that, but every book I do intend to have some sort of weird symbol on the cover, like a glyph, because I love that shit.
Yeah.
You know, being
it looks good. Right?
It looks cool. It makes the book scary. Ooh, you know.
Look booga at this booga. Cover.
You know, yeah, I love that stuff. I love that stuff. So it's all good. Hey, Sean, in regards to your experience at Best Buy, this was the other day when I was talking about how I got attacked.
Yes, you got attacked by the sharks.
By the sharks. I'm like, literally, I had to turn to the supervisor, and I'm like, I'm not talking to you. you will go away now. Go. And, oh, yeah, they were angry. Fuck, these guys were like, whoa. Of course, they were trained, but they weren't really used to dealing with a Sean. Right. So they didn't really know how to deal with the Sean. And so when they came in, they're all like, well, actually, I overheard your conversation. I'm like, why are you listening to my conversation right off the top? Second of all, this is not up for discussion. Yep. Thank you. Go away. And then nobody wanted to talk to me after that. They're like, oh, shit, guy with a flat top being assertive. You know, must be insane, you know. Shit. I swear to God, man.
I can't. 911
I can't get mad in stores. I cannot get mad in a store. If I go into a store to complain, you could get mad in a store and complain. You could go in there and do it because, you know, you could do that. Me, yeah. If I go and raise my voice. If I raise my voice in the store, everything goes sideways. excuse me, Mr. Kennedy. Yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have to strip you naked in the bathroom and frisk you. Before we allow you to buy the DVD Apocalypse Now. I really don't think that's a good idea. I don't really want to be stripped naked and searched. Well, sir, it's part of our company policy. Listen, guy, I'm not going to let you strip me naked. Woo! What the hell? Why are the cops here? All I said was, sir, you're being really loud. No! You know, it's brutal how these guys operate. But, you know, whatever. I guess some people can complain, and it all depends on your haircut.
I guess so.
But maybe you can't now, because you went and saw my barber, too. You're sporting the raft
true.
Cut.
It's short. It's not the same. It's not a flat top, but it is.
It's looking
short.
Pretty flat toppy today.
Well, you know, I kind of flatten it.
Did you?
It's still rounded though.
Sim's right? In denial.
He's in That's denial. Right.
Anyway, let's get back to the letter. In regards to your experience at Best Buy, I actually work at one. Oh God,
sorry.
It's got to be one of the worst jobs I've ever had. I work in the computer department. So I know exactly what you were talking about. Just so you know. If the salespeople don't hound you to buy the extra stuff, they're at risk of being fired.
Whoa.
Every time I sell a computer package and the customer does not buy the extended warranty or accessories, a manager will come up to me and ask me why I didn't sell anything extra. Okay. Luckily for me, though, I went, you will walk away from me in the store. So all the managers and the security cameras and, like, you know, the rotating knives and everything were all focused on the Seanster.
They all heard
So
that.
There'll be no risk of anybody getting fired because I was like, listen up. I don't want to buy shit. I just want to buy this. This is a really good sales guy here. He's done his job. Don't fire him. But I
want to stick with Bill here.
Bill is my brother. Over here, Bill. Solid, Bill. Bill, give me a solid. Solid. Thanks, Bill. You the man. You the man, Bill. Here's a newsreel episode for your mind. The rest will follow.
Thanks.
Okay. We, each employee is tracked on how much they sell. Oh, there's a shock.
Wonderful.
And what percentage of those sales has warranties, accessories, and Geek Squad services? If those percentages are weak, you are subject to being fired. We make poverty-level wages. We don't get any commission, and it's a terrible place to work. I could go on and on about all the bullshit that goes on there, but you get the idea. I'm desperately trying to find a better job, maybe even one where I can keep the rent paid on time. So hopefully something will come up soon. Anyway, you did the right thing by not buying any extras. Tell your friends that no matter how tempting the salesperson makes the extras sound, they are not worth it. They are nothing but a rip-off. That's it for now. Keep up the good work. You truly are an inspiration to us all. And that is from Vampire.
Nice.
Which, you know, is kind of funny because I was just saying, talking about vampires and That's going and killing
good
them on
tie-in. Good
How many people out there, seriously, I wonder how many people out there, you know, honestly got their whole introduction to counterculture from vampires? When you think about it, when you think about it, Dracula, they had the hot chick sneak into your room at night to drink your blood. That was the deal, right? And apparently, getting all drunk from a vampire is like feels better than sex. Mm-hmm. So when you're like 13 and discovering the Hammer horror films, and Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing have got all these fine bitches walking around in basically transparent clothing, really. You know, we're talking, you know, that's pretty. They're really stuff, racy for the year. Those old Hammer 4 horror films, if people ever wanted to, you know.
Well, that's where they could put it in, right? In the horror film.
Oh,
the rated
Age, you know, and then you're 14 years old. It's 3 in the morning. Your parents are, you know, and you're stuck back downstairs to watch, you know, Hammer Horror Festival. You know, the Satanic Daughters of Dracula and shit. Oh, it's just fucking good stuff. I love that shit. And from there, I got obsessed with vampires. That's where I got it from. As I got obsessed with vampires, I'm like, vampires are fucking cool. And then I heard Dracula was a real guy. No shit. So I go and I look all that up, and then that led me to the occult. So I blame all this on Christopher Lee.
Oh, yeah. Firmly, yeah.
Now, got another letter here, and honest to God, that's how it was. That's how he spelt it. Coming, it was Dear Sean. He actually put the big, which that just cracked me
that's
up right there. That's
funny.
That's awesome. So, Dear Sean, you do so much work, and I don't want to see you burn out. I say, take a year off, and start Aikido or Kung Fu. When you come back, you'll be happier and re-energized. Time to think about yourself for a change, eh? And that's from Dead Metaverse. Sim?
That's a great idea, I think. I think you should take a year off, and we'll put out no product, and the show will stop.
No newsreel.
We're not going to put out patrolling because, well, you're taking a year off.
That's right. No patrolling, no newsreel, no books.
There's going to be no after now. We're going to have to stop the books.
No books. What else?
What else is there?
I guess the page, live journal will stop.
Yeah, that would
no
have
more
to
links.
Stop. Yep.
No more. No more.
Yeah.
See, the reality of the situation is, you know, and honestly, if I took a year off.
And you'd have no income.
I would, yeah, there's that too. I would be doing kung fu in the street. I'd be the guy from, you know, Shaolin Soccer there, you know, trying
begging
to do,
for the change,
yeah, begging
and
for
stealing
the
food.
Yeah,
and
bad. All bad. Yeah, we do a lot of work, but let me tell you something, guys. If you want to make it, you're not going to make it just by blogging and throwing a donation tab up on your blog. Like, there's some guys out there that think they're going to make it that way. Yeah, you might make a couple of bucks in the beginning because you're flavor of the month right now. But in the long haul, for the long term, you need to bust your ass. Being in the entertainment industry on any level, I don't care if you're independent media or regular media or what, means that you have to fight like a mofo. You have to work super hard. You have to get up early this week. This week's shows, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's fairly apparent on Monday or Tuesday's show that I was in bad shape.
There was one there.
I think it was Tuesday's show. I was feeling like ass. Bad day. Now, I've had other bad. That was a really bad day.
Yeah, it sounded like it.
I was in a rough place, rough day, just, oh, my God, I want to die, you know? And I had to do the show, and I'm stopping the recording after every news story, getting more water. Oh, I'm trying to feed myself coffee, and I'm like, kill me. I hate this fucking show, you know? And you got to do that, but that's what you got to do. There's consistent product, and there's people out there who need the show. There's people out there who I get this email all the time from these guys who are like, you know, oh, I need the show because I listen to it. You know, and one guy sent me an email. It's like, you are the coffee in my sugar and cream. And I thought, I remembered that one, you know, and I thought, damn, you know, that's pretty cool that there are people out there who really do get off on this. Yeah. And I don't make the shoe. I don't make shoes. I'm not a shoemaker.
But you put them on.
But I put shoes on. And after my shoes are on, I record newsreel. But no, seriously, I don't make the show for people who, you know, actually I shouldn't say I don't make it for certain people, but when I think of people listening to the show, when I have my own little imagination screen, you know, whoop, turns on and I think about
the average person who's listening.
When I like to imagine people listening to the show, I imagine crazy, crazy gaunt kids like that one from that Aphex Twin video with the big bulbous head and the little fucked up dog.
Yeah.
That's my listener right there.
It's in the basement,
that guy.
In the dark.
In the dark, you know, and can code with his fucking mind. He's Billy from Radio Chaos, you know. I think of the trucker. I think of Fat Ninja. You know, I've got this image in my mind of what Fat Ninja looked like. This manic fucking trucker with like a backseat full of, you know, RPGs howling through the desert, you know, listening to Sean. Or you got, you know, these guys out there who are just living their lives, living how they choose to live and being outside the box. And they're listening to Newsreel. And I enjoy that. I enjoy that because realistically, I think that all I have is I have a gift of gab. You know, and it may even be argued how great that gift is. And if you want to know how that's argued, you could just look at my live journal, and every asshat out there is going to make a wonderful comment about, you know, how on my own record of thoughts and opinions, how my thoughts are wrong, which I find to be hilarious. But anyway, you know, so when I think of the listeners, I really enjoy that there are these kinds of people out there listening to me. Because, you know, I don't want to think of, you know, Britney Spears turning onto my show or Paris Hilton going, yeah, I sometimes, you know.
He's while funny I, when he swears.
While I'm getting my toes filed and I'm having a facial done, sometimes I listen to Newsreel. But, boy, wouldn't that be good, eh? Get these celebrities and they're all tied down, you know, because they're in their body moisturization things. And all they got's their head out. And then one day,
cucumbers on their eyes.
And in comes Tyler Durden working at the spa, you know, puts on the headphones. And what they're expecting is the latest and greatest top 40 Pablum hits. Yeah. But instead, it's this is Newsreel. You know what I mean? That'd be just fantastic. Now, there's a way, you know, Paracel, that I didn't know who this man was. And, oh, I that would be hot.
Made me cry.
Everyone at the spa denied knowledge. No one had any information about what is going on. Rogue audio programming. God, that was sexy. Now, Sim here had an amazing idea. Now, I'm not one much for protests myself, and I've wavered back and forth. Originally, I thought protests were a waste of fucking time because you show up and you're like, I don't like this, and then they send a bunch of cops out for some training, and the cops get some training, they beat up some hippies, and everybody's happy. They go home, they have some beer, the hippies get to wine, and they get battle scars, and everybody's happy.
That's right.
Yeah, it didn't do anything.
And they do it the next week.
Yeah, and then they do it next week, you know, and then they go to their protest zones, and they party behind the fence there. It's kind of like a mosh pit without a band. Anyway, so and the cops have riot armor. That's pretty much how it works. So what I was thinking is that if you wanted to go to a protest, what would be the ultimate WOG wear to go to a protest in? And I actually cover the exact thing to wear in Patrolling Season 2 because I go over my exact suit that I wear. But if ever you go to a protest...
oh. Quiet.
Oh, is that secret?
Yeah.
Is that secret stuff? Okay.
Yep.
Shh. I can delete that. Should I go back and delete it?
It's okay.
Okay. But anyway, Sim just totally was like, what are you doing? You're dropping docs everywhere, you fucking maniac. Now, seriously, you should very seriously get yourself a business suit.
Yeah.
Get yourself a business suit and go in a business suit.
The visuals.
Think of this. Think of this now. Think of a WOG party of 200-300 people. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All Newsreel listeners. And they show up to protest and they're in business suits. Really nice. Cheap business suits.
Yep.
And then the cops wade into you and you're like, got your hair done. You're really trying. You take the piercings out.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Like you totally, you're not trying
get
to look
your
punk.
Hair to a
oh, yeah. And
color,
you're like, hey, how's it going? You know, we like to talk to you about this whole protest thing. We think that there's something going on, you know, and while other people are doing, you know, the freaky looking guys are doing like, you know, soapbox skits and they're all like, hey, how you doing? Treat the cops like they're your old friends. Oh, hey, Bob. Or, sir, how you doing? You were just down the other way. I see they're moving you here. Blah, 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 blah. And eventually the cops will hit you. Because that's what happens at protests. Eventually the cops are waiting for the minute because they're so freaked out. The cops are terrified.
Yep.
They're like, You ever wonder why these cops are wearing so much armor? Have you ever looked at the cops at the protests? Let me give you a little bit of inside intel here. The cops are wearing all this armor because... they want to, they're trying to make the cops dehumanized. They're trying to make the cops look like robots that you do not have social interaction. You cannot see the fear
in
the
cops. You can't see their eyes.
You can't see their eyes, especially not their eyes.
Yeah.
That's especially important that you can't
see.
This is why people put on sunglasses and it looks badass in sunglasses.
That's right,
because
you can't
see the eyes. Yeah. There's no emotion there. But the cop can see you. And you may not be aware of how much post-traumatic stress you're causing by going, please don't hit us.
Yeah.
Okay, please don't kill us because we are Americans and we love you and we think you are just the sharp end of the core political. We want to win the hearts and minds of the frontline troopers. Okay, now if you wear the business suits and you go to the protests, okay, what's going to happen is the cops are going to wade into you wearing riot armor and you got guys in riot armor beating guys in suits. Guaranteed you're going on the cover of Time.
Guaranteed. Have you ever heard of this? Ever.
Hundreds of people in business suits being assaulted by cops.
Getting smashed in the head.
By cops. Young, good-looking men
like
and women.
Hundreds of them. A field of businessmen.
Especially business women.
And
imagine
business
women in dress skirts and all done up like they're, you know, like on the SDF-1 and shit. Yep. And there they are, getting beat down by cops. Fuck, it would never happen.
Nope.
It would never. The cops would be like...
The cops,
you know,
wouldn't know what to do.
They'd be fucked.
They'd get the call to go beat them. So,
yeah.
Okay, they're getting rowdy. Do it.
Yeah, but
and
what
they're
if
like,
they're not getting rowdy? Yeah.
We got to beat these guys up in business suits.
That's not cool.
And then everybody's camera comes out. And
oh, yeah. Lots of opportunity there. Very,
it'll be on the cover of every single newspaper anywhere. So if you're in one of these protest organizations.
That's right.
And you want to do something really special for the next one.
You betcha.
Get some cheap business suits. Go down to your thrift store.
And as well, bring out some Newsreel CDs. When people come up to you and they'll say, hey, why are you wearing a business suit? Well, Sean told me to do it. You know, it's all Sean. All Newsreel. Yep, that was it. And give out some CDs. So these protests are great ideas for how to circulate media because everyone wants to make connections. And
so it is
I
all
promise
about
you,
right?
Any dude who goes to a protest would dig my show.
Yeah, especially
because
it's
they're
free,
direct action.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Free.
I'm pretty sure that anyone would. Because they're direct action. They want to do something.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're pretty direct action, generally. Yeah. Generally. You know, we're talking
there's
a lot
something
more.
To do. Direct action.
Yeah, here's something to do. Off you go.
Do it.
Go.
Have
you
some
know,
fun.
Have fun.
It's a fun thing.
Let's get into the news. Something that is not a fun thing is about the whole USA Gestapo thing. Now, remember I was talking about how the U.S. is taking people And they are sending them to Morocco, where they get tortured because they're not allowed to torture in the United States.
I haven't heard them being sent to Morocco, but Guantanamo Bay, yeah. But
oh, no, if you're – okay, let me fill you in on this because okay. this has been in the news. What they'll do is the Yanks, of course, are getting a lot of bad press because of the torture thing, right?
Yeah.
So what they do is they outsource the torture. They pay money to countries like Morocco and shit like that. So they'll arrest someone. Americans go and arrest some guy.
Right.
Ship him to Morocco, hand him over to Moroccan authorities.
Yes.
The Moroccan authorities, who answer to fuck all and are essentially the Prince of Darkness, interrogate the shit out of, because the laws right. of Morocco, right? So, and then they get all the data. And then
write it all down.
And then they hand it over to the U.S. and we outsource our torture.
That's absolutely evil.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
I don't believe it.
Benyan Mohammed traveled from London to Afghanistan in July of 2001, but after September 11th, he fled to Pakistan. He was arrested at Karachi Airport on April 10th, 2002, and described being flown by a U.S. government plane to a prison in Morocco. These are extracts from his diary. They cut off my clothes with some kind of doctor's scalpel. I was naked. I tried to put on a brave face. Maybe I was going to be raped. Maybe they'd electrocute me. Maybe they'd castrate me. They took the scalpel to my right chest. It was only a small cut, maybe an inch. At first, I just screamed. I was just shocked. I wasn't expecting. Then they cut my left chest. This time, I didn't want to scream because I knew it was coming. One of them took my penis in his hand and began making cuts. He did it once, then stood still for maybe a minute, watching my reaction. I was in agony. He must have done this 20 to 30 times in maybe 2 hours. There was blood all over. I told you I was going to teach you who's the man, one eventually said. They cut all over my private parts. One of them said they'd better just cut it off as I would only breed terrorists. I asked for a doctor. Doctor number one carried a briefcase. You're all right, aren't you? But I'm going to say a prayer for you. Doctor number two gave me an Alka-Seltzer for the pain. I told him about my penis. I need to see it. How did this happen? I told him. He looked at it like it was just... He looked like it was just another patient. Put this cream on it 2 times a day, morning and night. He gave me some kind of antibiotic. I was in Morocco for 18 months. Once they began this, they would do it about once a month. One time I asked a guard, what's the point of this? I've got nothing I can say to them. I've told them everything I possibly could. As far as I know, it's just to degrade you. So when you leave here, you'll have these scars and you'll never forget. So you'll always fear doing anything but what the U.S. wants. Now, if this story can be believed, if this is true, which, unfortunately, from my experiences, I would say that this stands a chance of being fairly accurate. Yep. There's a lot of sadistic psycho motherfuckers out there, okay? And this is totally distasteful, and some people would say, but Sean, you were talking about grabbing people and torturing and raving around them because that's war. And that's what war is, and war is bad, and this is why you avoid war. Yes, I did say that. But there's a difference. There's a difference here. I have no problems where there's a terrorist, you know he's a terrorist, he's a cleric or something who's, you know, been running all kinds of hate-filled speeches, talking about blowing up America. You've got good intel that says he's got names and dates and he's got the plan. Okay, so yeah, you send in your team picks him up out of his house, you know, punches a few people out, drags him off to a chair, ties him to the chair and says, what the fuck's going on? We think you're going to kill people. He says, kiss my ass, God protects me, la 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 la. Now, we then fast forward to this story where Buddy breaks out the scalpel and starts, you know, making 1,001 perforations in Buddy, okay, to get the intel. Once the intel is discovered as being good, you let him go. You release the guy. You do not hold him and continue shattering and breaking him. That's the difference between intelligence and distasteful torture and sadism, okay? I believe that being a soldier and taking someone's life is probably as close to an actual sacred act as you will ever find in this reality, okay? Now, torturing someone is... I can't even imagine the mindset of the kind of... Well, you know what? Being a horror writer, I could imagine the mindset of a person who's an actual... That's his job. He's an interrogator, okay? He tortures people for a living. I mean, that's... You got to kind of get inside.
You look hard enough, you'll find somebody like that.
Yeah, you can find one. And to them, I guess that's just meat. You know, it's just like guys who work in a slaughterhouse or something like that.
I couldn't cut apart a cow, but there's people who can.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's guys I've heard stories, because my boss used to work in a slaughterhouse, and he would tell me stories that just would make me turn white. You know, just really bad stuff. Stuff I feel bad repeating.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, incidentally, you know, I won't go into that. But anyway... It's just, it's a lot of really wild, wicked stuff is going on with that. Now, I can understand due to operational requirements that, you know, the application of force is useful, but that's very distasteful. You'd like to avoid that as much. That is last resort material there. This kind of bullshit here, not so much. This kind of shit right here is garbage and should be treated as garbage. It's total crap, and there's no place for this in this century. Does this? Well, what's your solution, Sean? Well, generally, I'd like to turn Morocco into fused fucking glass anyway, because if you go check Morocco's politics and their whole culture down there, it's fucked. Women are slaves. There's all kinds of people who, like, come with me to the Casbah. They'll drag these women down there. They marry them. They become chattel, and they get sold off to the slave industry. All of Morocco is just like it's one of the serious hearts of darkness, man. So, you know, it's unfortunate. But just so you're aware of how bad it can get, you should probably link on that article. Give it a full, solid read, and it gets pretty black. As well, if you want to go, I refer you again to that book I mentioned before on the air. If you want to know what war is really all about, the book is called The Tenth Circle of Hell, and it recovers the rape camps in Bosnia and the concentration camps that were set up in Bosnia just a few years ago, which you've never heard about. Very, very scary stuff. Now, into mercenary news, sent to me by Crunch, a Chevron company document. So Chevron, you know, ding, ding, your town pump.
Yes.
Okay. Chevron company document shows that Chevron paid Nigerian soldiers who guarded the company's oil rigs after they allegedly attacked two villages in the African nation. So we have Chevron, the corporation, hiring another company's army to go wipe out villages in Africa. What do you call that? Is that terrorism? Is that core political terrorism, or is it just, you know, flat-out mercenary war? Imagine for a moment that, you know, somewhere in New Hampshire, two small counties got whacked by Chevron because there was some oil there they wanted to drill for.
Yep.
And the residents, you know,
said,
were having...
No, it's ours.
They had a rainbow fest.
Yep.
Or something, or and so they just sent them in there and murdered everybody. You know, that is so foreign. That concept is so unbelievably foreign to us that it just sounds like a movie, you know? Be like Chevron saying, it sounds like it happened on another planet.
This happens all the time in other countries.
Because
the corporation is so separate from what happens here. It's a different world. They're like, we just want the oil. We don't care about the laws there.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what happens.
It's about
in
what
these
we
countries.
Want. We're here about the money, and that's it. The document surfaced during a lawsuit filed in San Francisco against the energy firm. I bet they're happy about that. The invoice from a Nigerian Navy captain asks San Ramon-based Chevron to pay $165 to soldiers who responded to attacks from a village. Chevron paid within 24 hours. So residents of the two villages of Nigeria's oil-rich delta have sued Chevron in federal court in San Francisco to hold the company responsible for the fatal attacks in January of 1999 that left homes destroyed and at least four people dead. The company has denied any responsibilities for the deaths or injuries, and they're going to make them pay for every inch of ground that this African nation is going to try to take. But, of course, these African people do not have the resources required to fight Chevron. Now, a corporation, I'm going to put this out there to you, okay? There is a part, they say, there is a part in the human mind that, like a biological part, that wants to believe in God. There's an actual part of your head that's wired to believe in God, right?
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to suggest is that people far cleverer than I am are phasing out God and they're replacing God with corporations. A corporation fits the description of a God. It's not real. You can't point to it.
Not a person.
It's a concept. They talk about a culture. You have faith in the corporation. They will look after you. Your whole life can be based around it. Like, go talk to anybody who's got anything above the rank of barista at a Starbucks. Starbucks controls their whole fucking life. It's their world. So realistically, I propose that the corporations, which live longer than people do, live longer than countries do, have no country of origin anymore, are multinational, are global. The corporations are the pantheon of gods of our time. The core politicals are the new gods. And the people who have taken over as the CEOs and all the managers, well, they're just the high priests. And who do they answer to? The market, whatever the fuck that means. They answer to the almighty dollar for our show. It's for the betterment of all. They're the new gods. They're totally the new gods. So when you see me stand up and I start calling down God, I'm not calling down God. I'm calling down gods. I don't like gods. Gods piss me off because just by existing, they claim to have ownership and superiority over you, yours, your children, and your life. And I think that you're important enough that you don't need that. And so, you know, you can understand why Sim just said, fuck it, that's just stupid. I'm not believing in no gods because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and they pray in the morning at some of these corporations.
Oh, they pray in the morning. Right. They do their chants.
Yep.
You know, don't speak bad. No blasphemy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't no blasphemy. No. Can't speak out against the company.
You'd be excommunicated.
That's right. You can't reveal any of the church secrets.
Yep.
Right? You can't do any of that. Can't talk about how the church, you know, and even the word church itself comes from the derivative of a meeting of people, of a group of people.
Yep.
Sick and weird. Sick and weird. So what's the solution? Of course, well, join a better church, like the Church of Rant Media. Now, that's a scary thing, but realistically, you could call it what you want. There's people who would be out there. There's already people saying, I'm a crazy cult leader, and I'm the high priest of harmful matter. La, 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 la. Okay, whatever. I'm following the footsteps, like I am standing on the shoulders of giants to even be, you know, having my mosquito wings even heard. But the thing is, with all these corporations out there, all this pantheon of gods, there's a whole lot of people who are beginning to wake up, but they don't think they have anywhere to go. And that is where Rant Media doesn't win, listeners. We catch them before they fall through the cracks. And quite hopefully, I'd like to send recce teams down into the cracks to get these valuable, beautiful, brilliant people are the washouts of society back up so we can all build a better world.
And give them a voice.
And give them a voice. Give everyone a voice.
And their own mind back.
Exactly. Snatch your brain back, zombie. That's the whole plan. Now, in veteran news, this is another thing we're going to be seeing. This is going to be a whole new demographic for us. It's going to be the war vets. Listen to this story. When Matthew Seppi returned from Iraq a few months ago, he spoke to his family reluctantly of gun battles and the weird noises children make when they die. Yeah, that line right there, the weird noises children make when they die. Anyone wants to put out an album title, that's an album title there. Weird noises children make when they die. He never told relatives whether he killed anyone during combat, but said he recently had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder when he'd been placed on a waiting list for treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder.
So there's a lot of them.
Some son of a bitch walks up to me off a plane, and we're talking over a beer, and I'm at the airport, and he goes, you know, I'm talking about Rantman. He goes, yeah, you know, I like music and sounds. And he says to me, yeah, you know, kids make weird sounds when they die. That son of a bitch is going straight to therapy right now. I don't give a fuck who's waiting. Okay, this guy goes to therapy. And if he's on a waiting list, I'm afraid of the dudes who have priority above him. To help shield his psyche from images of bodies, family members said the 20-year-old soldier had adopted a simple technique. Just don't think about it. That'll work. But early morning, Army Specialist Seppi found himself thinking about killing in front of homicide detectives. They interrogated Seppi about a double shooting in his neighborhood near Las Vegas Boulevard and Sahara Avenue. Based on Seppi's vision of the events at 1 a.m., a walk to 7-Eleven proved nearly as dangerous as his tour of duty in Iraq. According to an arrest report filed in Clark County District Court, Seppi told investigators he dressed in a black coat. Notice how they said he dressed in a black, black coat.
Black coat. Not a trench coat?
He dressed in a black coat. He tucked an assault rifle under his arm and left his apartment for a beer run. As the 120-pound Seppi journeyed on foot, he passed through a dark alley. A man and woman confronted him and yelled for him to leave the alley, police said in the report. Seppi said the man, identified by authorities as 26-year-old Kevin Ratcliffe, produced an object that he thought to be a gun and opened fire in the alleyway.
It's crazy.
Seppi explained he'd been trained in the military that a situation in which he was ambushed, he was to engage the target and retreat from the area, people wrote in the report. He felt the situation in the alley was an ambush, and he reacted the way he'd been trained. Seppi recalled firing four shots. Sharon Jackson, 47, fell on the ground and died at the scene from multiple gunshot wounds. Ratcliffe was hit by gunfire and was taken to the hospital. He is expected to survive. Seppi, meanwhile, had fled the shooting scene and returned to his apartment to grab more ammunition. Minutes later, the police officer pulled up over the infantry specialist Oldsmobile Saman and noticed the assault rifle inside. Seppi, an American Indian who hails from Winslow, Arizona, was arrested and booked in the Clark County Detention Center of suspicion of one count of murder and attempted murder. Some evidence may lend credence to Seppi's self-defense story. We do know the victim's boyfriend got off a few rounds as well. Police said they recovered a 9mm pistol and three spent 9mm casings from the crime scene. Police are investigating Seppi's story that someone had pulled a knife that... Police are investigating Seppi's story that someone pulled a knife on him while he was unarmed a day before the shooting. Seppi's mother, Nora, said she had noticed changes in her son since he tried to move back to civilian life. Now, this is only the beginning. If you get a guy over there, like, this is, you know, God damn it. You know, just please, fuck, just prove me wrong, you know. This isn't meant to be an I told you so, but holy fuck did I tell you so. You send kids over there, neck shooting people, okay, and they come back and somebody, you know, shit gets weird on the street. The kid's like, well, okay, I understand this because I've been shooting people. Some guy fucked with me yesterday, pulled a knife on me, so you know what? Fuck this, man. I'm going to throw my assault rig under my long coat, and I'm going out because I'm going to make a beer run. I'm going to take back alleyways because I don't want to get in shit, okay? Some fucking guy comes up to me, starts pop-talking shit in Las Vegas alleyways. Been to Las Vegas, seen the alleyways, totally buyable, okay? Guy produces a gun, and the buddy in a black coat goes, don't think so. Out comes the carbine, and rounds start going, and that's where we're at. Welcome to Shadowrun and Cyberpunk.
That's his mindset. That's what he's been trained
that's
for.
That's what he does. The man kills, okay? That was his function. Do not fuck with the infantry. Their job, by Canadian standards, is to close with and destroy the enemy. They changed that now. But your primary function is to kill, period. That's your function. So you take this kid, drop him into a desert war, where he's walking around a city where nobody's friendly, he's wearing armor, he gets to hear the sounds children make when they die, and then when he comes back at the fucking ripe old age of 20, when other kids are getting laid for the first time, okay, and he's in a gun battle in an alleyway in Las Vegas. We need to have a better support structure for our troops coming back, because this is fuck all. Wait until the really good ones start showing up, and they're coming. Now, in Red Alliance news, something else that's coming down the pipe, nearly 10,000 Chinese and Russian troops will take part in joint military exercises from August 18th to the 25th. The Chinese Ministry of National Defense announced yesterday. Oh boy, China and Russia teaming up. What a great thing.
Isn't
it? The exercise mission dubbed, now this is what really scared me, Peace Mission 2005.
You know it's anything but when they name it that.
Yeah, no doubt. Will take place around Russia's Vladivostok and East China's Shandong Peninsula. Land forces, Navy, Air Force, Airborne Troops, Marine Corps, and logistic troops from the two armies will take part in the exercise in the far eastern region of Russia, as well as the peninsula offshore sea waters. The Chinese military said the joint military maneuvers does not target any party. No. Other than, say, the United States. Do you know how many people in Russia, that whole Russian army for a long time there was just talking about fucking over the United States? You know, that was their whole focus. So that propaganda, that meme is still readily in existence in Russian culture. Oh, in China? Yeah, they love Russia. China and Russia have had a lot of problems. But now, oh, they're working together. Isn't that nice? And who's not in that package? Very, very dangerous. I could see Russia moving on the Middle East. Russia and China moving on the Middle East. Say, fuck it. It's our continent. It's more logistically capable for us to just roll on this. We'll take the oil here and y'all can kiss our ass. Y'all want to come in here? Yeah, okay, that's fine. Let's have, a couple billion Chinese equipped with Russian kit. There you go. There's an army.
Yeah.
Scary. And Cyberpunk kit. This is not in existence. This is a Pratt patent that's being built in Israel.
Okay.
But you'll see this soon. New taser wands.
What?
Patents filed by an Israeli inventor, Amit Weissman, U.S. company Yardi Association of Connecticut, makes a scary reading for nervous travelers. Airport security guards already have handheld electromagnetic wands to detect metal hidden under the clothing.
Yes.
The same wand can also sniff for traces of gas or some explosives in the air. It's
great.
A body scanner.
Yeah.
If the passenger is a suicide bomber who realizes the wand has found something, okay, now that's pretty reaching for it there, the guard might not have enough time to pull out the handcuffs or a gun. So the new wand will have a hidden secret, a transformer, which steps the detector's battery power up to 100 kilovolts and feeds it to disguised metal electrodes at the end of the wand. If the wand gives a silent warning of explosives, the guard can subtly slide the pads onto the passenger's neck or hands and press the shock button. The patent reassures the effect is temporary and reversible.
Reversible.
So they're tasers built into the wands.
So next time we go to the airport, we're going to have tasers going over our bodies.
Yeah, and if I have
one little switch.
Oh, yeah. Is that a... Nee, 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 nee. Ah, fuck! Jesus Christ, Batman!
It's like scanning you with a gun. It's like, Oh, yeah. Oh.
Not so good.
No.
Not so good. And in punk news, this is how things are going in China. A Chinese cyber dissident has been jailed for 5 years for posting essays and reports, including the lyrics of a punk song on the internet.
What? He's going to jail?
He's been jailed for 5 years. Zhang Lin has been behind bars since January this year for posting materials which authorities described as contrary to the basis of the Constitution. I'm not even going to read the rest of this news article because that's all you really need to hear there. What could they possibly say that would justify that?
What was in these things?
He said something we didn't like, so we threw him in jail.
Or for words.
Questions?
Yeah.
In crypto news, this is from Pan Media, again, electronic checks that could identify terrorist suspects before they board a plane in Britain may be rushed in amid heightened concerns over port security in the wake of the suicide bombings. The e-border scheme, under which passengers' details will automatically be scanned against police, intelligence, and immigration watch lists before they reach the boarding gate, is not due to be introduced until 2008. However, ministers are investigating whether the program, which also keeps an electronic record of people leaving Britain, can be speeded up because of its potential usefulness as a weapon against terrorism. Speculation that Al-Qaeda mastermind had arrived via Suffolk port of Fexworth not long after the 7th July bombings, and the ease with which one suspect suicide bomber was apparently swept away to Rome have concentrated attention on port security. Well, that's great, you know, because we need to have
more security for the citizens.
And more surveillance, because that really is the key.
It really helps. Yeah.
It does help a lot.
No.
Your daily hacks today, I have two of them for you. The first one is elevator hacking, sent to me by Kizzle.
Ooh.
The design of some elevators include hidden features that are very handy if you're in a hurry, or if it's a busy time in the building, like checkout time in a hotel. When some elevators require a key, others can be put into express mode by pressing the closed door and the floor buttons at the same time. This sweeps the car to the floor of your choice and avoids stops at any other floor. Now, I mentioned this exact link before, or no, this exact technique before.
You have, yeah.
But this one here, it's expanded out. Now there's a whole ton of elevator hacks
might
there.
Might have spurned on some people to investigate a little bit more.
So it's totally updated. So you want to check that out. Very, very cool. And as well, what's the ultimate supernatural weapon? This is only for Rapture.
Supernatural,
huh? Only for this. Yeah.
Okay.
The shotgun is very prime.
Yes.
Okay, shotgun. If he's immune to gunfire, kinetic force, and the flamethrower. Can't get away from a flamethrower.
Yeah, one of those two are going to do something.
One of those two are going to handle the problem. Vampires, werewolves, all that. And, of course, I have the specs on your daily hack for how to build a home-built flamethrower.
Ooh.
Yes. Best to put that in the wouldn't it be cool if not the let's try this category.
Yeah, very, very careful.
Incidentally, I'm looking for a picture, and I'm wondering if somebody can find this, because I'm having a hell of a time finding this picture.
Yeah, we gave it a try, but we couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it. It's a photo. I believe it's from the Second World War. It's a color photograph. It's from the Pacific Campaign. I believe it's on a book. It was on a book, I think, that had something to do with the Pacific Campaign. But it was a picture of a man with a flamethrower taken in theater. The guy had painted his face up like a skull, was holding the flamethrower, and was completely and totally insane. There's a term for it. I can't remember what the post-traumatic stress disorder term for it is, but he is drunk with the rage of war, wandering through a burning village with a flamethrower and his face painted up like a skull. I need to find that photo. If someone could try to locate that for me, multiple versions, high res, are also good. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in a time of crisis. And there's 71 people who are willing to fight for July. Haven't got the latest list yet for August. Got to get that. Or no.
No,
July.
No, no. July.
Yeah, no, no.
August
71
isn't done.
People. Sorry, I'm all screwed up.
Yep.
I got June and July confused. 71 people donated in July, and 5 new people came on board, and thank you so much
Rock
for doing
on.
That. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Or you can also click on the rant shop. Is that what it's called?
Rant store.
Rant store.
And get the book.
Pick up a copy of the book.
Yeah, and there's lots of
good stuff going on there. And thanks again to everyone, their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up the album by Erasure called Chorus. And I'm going to leave you now with a track from that album I'm dedicating to all the asshats out there trying to use my live journal as a forum. I love to hate you. Until tomorrow, that's what Server said. Oh, have you got anything?
No, patrolling DVDs coming out in about 2-3 weeks.
Oh, I'm going to... you're such a tease. You are such a tease.
It's very close. There's only one more segment, and the menu's to be done.
Outstanding.
It's going to be good.
Well, until that happens, then, end of life.
I love to hate you. I love to hate you. I love